I'm speaking today with Reginald Adams, who is running for HISD trustee in District 2. Reginald, why are you running for this office?
I am running, Charles. I have a six-year-old son who recently began his career at HISD, and he is my primary motivation. When I get up and get him prepared for school, and I have to take him across town, unfortunately, to school, even with there being a brand new $15 million campus across the street from my house, it dismays me of the inequalities in the school system where all of our neighborhood schools are not giving parents an option of being able to take them there. Secondly, I've worked for the last 7 years in a lot of our public schools, and I've seen the disparities between schools that have and schools that have not. And I've also been involved on a community-based level through some affordable housing programs I've been working with. And so I've seen how schools impact quality of these neighborhoods. I've seen very great schools in comparison to a lot more not-so-great schools. And I think with my experience and my vested interest in seeing that my son gets the best education he can possibly receive, it makes me qualified to take on this role as trustee for District 2.
So what's the school that your son isn't going to, and what's wrong with it?
Bruce Elementary School is the school that he is zoned to. It's literally across the street from my house, talking about 20 yards away. And I watched the school being built this summer, and it's a beautiful campus, and it's probably the best that our tax dollars could buy. However, the school is low performing, and I want, like most parents, I want what's best for Jelani. And so I found a school in HISD that was exemplary, and it's been exemplary. They have an incredible principal, and it usually starts at the top, and it reflects down to how the classrooms are managed. And we were able to get Jelani into Cornelius, which is in the South District, District 4. And it's dismaying. You have to drive an extra 25 minutes every morning to take him to school when I have one across the street from my house, but I'm willing to make that sacrifice in order for him to get the best chance he can.
So what is it that Bruce lacks that Cornelius has?
Leadership. Leadership. It all. I think in any business, and school is no more, nothing less than a business of educating children, when the leadership is not up to par, it's going to play itself out in everything else, the scores, the programs, etc.
When you say leadership, you mean like principal administration?
That's right.
Principal. So what would you as an HISD trustee do to rectify that?
Immediately, I would put a principal in that school that had stronger leadership skills. In the long term, if that couldn't happen immediately, I would send this principal through some leadership training so that he could get a better grasp on how to manage his campus.
And do you see that as a system-wide problem in HISD?
Absolutely. I think we have principals that kind of work themselves up the ladder of the educational ladder from being a teacher to being an administrator to being a principal. And that's, I think, the traditional approach. However, I think in that climb, many of the principals don't receive the leadership training that would make them strong managers on a campus. And whether that's managing money or managing people, there's something lacking, and therefore you will see schools that are low performing, don't offer programs to parents and to children, and a lot of that starts at the top in this decision that principal's making.
Okay. I mean, the big issue with HISD right now, of course, is the bond referendum. What's your opinion of it?
I think it's common fact now that the district took some serious missteps when they chose to not get public input on this bond before it was made public. However, looking forward, I support the bond. However, I do believe there's still room for improvement, but we can't negotiate those improvements if the bond doesn't pass. It has to be on the table in order for you to negotiate how to make it better. If the bond is pulled or if it's voted down, then there's nothing to discuss. We wait another 4 to 5 years before it can be reissued. So I support the bond as it's currently drafted. However, I do feel that there's a lot more room for improvement and a greater need to have ongoing input from parents, stakeholders, business leaders, community leaders, etc., to ensure that the bond truly meets the needs of all participants in the system.
What would you have done differently had you been on HISD at the time that this was being considered?
I would have taken even in draft form, I would have taken that information to the constituents. I would have hosted town hall meetings. It's really what they did after the fact. I think they did a great job. It was just after the fact. Town hall meetings, open public forums. Let's talk about what this means. Let's talk about the schools impacted. Let's talk about the dollars, how they'll be allocated. All of that, I think, was the right thing to do. It just came after the fact. And you get that kind of input before you make it public. Otherwise, people feel like something's being shoved down their throats and that they're being misled because it's constantly being changed. And so that's what I would have done differently had I been a trustee at that time and say, hey, we must take this before the public before we take it public.
A lot of the complaints have to do with, partly with some of the schools that HISD is looking to close or consolidate, but also with, I guess, the emphasis of where HISD is going to spend its money. What's your take on that?
Well, the truth of the matter, Charles, is that majority of the monies from this bond will be spent in District 2 and in the South District, which is District 4. That's the facts. Without having the exact numbers in front of me, students in the North District will receive about $12,000 per student versus $5,000 to $6,000 in the West, and students in the South District will receive about $9,000 per student versus the $5,000 or $6,000 that will be spent per student in the West and in other districts. So the brunt of the money is coming to the areas that have the greatest need. I don't know if the public really wants to hear that. I think now it's a matter of, you know, the district made a mistake, so let's punish them and let's keep punishing them. And the districts admitted their mistakes. They've made some concessions. I think it's time to move forward and get back to the business of what's going to be in the best interest of our children. And that's improving the campuses that need improvement, and that's rebuilding schools that need to be rebuilt.
Now, HISD has seen its enrollment decline fairly steadily over the past few years. Do you see this as a long-term threat or just sort of the way it is and something that HISD will adjust to?
Well, they have to adjust because I think it's real. I mean, if parents are, I'm voting with my feet. Now, I didn't take my son to a charter school, and I think that's what is happening. You have charter schools now that are essentially giving HISD a run for its money. They're offering very unique programming that's custom tailored to the learning styles of certain demographics of children. Parents are being more savvy about the options that are out there. And so they're moving their kids out of the district. They're not necessarily moving physically, but they're taking their children to schools where they're in class longer. They're in class on the weekends. And all of these give children an edge in how they perform on these standardized tests. My belief is that the district should be looking at what these charter schools are doing and model themselves after that. I think nothing drives excellence better than competition. And I think it's good that the charter schools are out there because it's making the district really have to evaluate what are we doing and why are these charter schools dealing with the exact same kids, same poor minority children that we can't deal with and teach, and they're taking them, and these kids are graduating at much higher percentages than the HISD's children. There's something to be looked at, and I think there's a lot to be learned and even modeled after that. And these are some of the issues that I will, you know, focus on as to what can we learn and take from these charter schools that are successful. And not to say all charter schools are, but there are some that are very successful, and I think the district could learn from some of the programming that's being offered in these schools.
There's at least one example, I believe, of a YES preparatory school that's going to be operating inside, I believe it's Lee High School.
Mm-hmm.
do you see that kind of partnership as something HISD should explore more of in the future?
Yes, and yes is the simple answer. My addendum to yes is whatever works, whatever is going to get these kids motivated, engaged, to stay in school, to graduate, to head to college, to head into vocational fields that provide meaningful wages, I'm a by any means necessary type of person. Whatever's going to make it work, then that's what we should be doing. And if it's partnering with charter schools inside of a traditional school campus, if that works, then by all means we should be doing it. If it doesn't work, then we need to recognize the failures and move on to practices that do work.
Do you think there should be more emphasis on college preparation for kids or just getting them through high school, you know, for whatever other purpose?
I think it has to be a mix. Everyone doesn't learn the same way. I mean, you know, I'm an artist. I have a very creative outlook and perspective on life. My learning style is in line with my creative perspective. I'm a very hands-on learner. I don't do well somebody just reading something to me. I need to do it, touch it, feel it. And there's other people that learn that way. But there are children that learn very well just by reading information. There's children that learn very well by hearing it. And so we have to adapt our schooling to the multiple ways in which people learn. And everyone's not going to college. That's just a simple reality. And some of our most successful entrepreneurs in the world are not necessarily college graduates. And I think that speaks to providing vocational outlets to give kids who are not college bound a chance at succeeding. I think the district could do more in teaching just entrepreneurship skills. You know, how do I get out and become my own business person? This is not something you regularly find in a school. It's usually preparing you to go work for someone. But there are more businesses opening every day that provide jobs for many more people. And I think these are the opportunities that we should be extending to young people beyond thinking everybody's going to go to college. It would be great, but that's not a reality. And I'm a realist.
Okay. Previously, you mentioned the subject of standardized testing, which is, you know, controversial. A lot of people think that there's too much emphasis on standardized testing these days. What do you think about that, and what approach do you want to see HISD take to achieve standardized testing goals that have been laid out?
Charles, I'll give you a couple examples maybe can address the question. We offer arts and education programs through Museum of Cultural Arts Houston's organization I'm executive director of, and I can't tell you how many schools that we've been approached to provide services, but in return, the principal or the liaisons at that campus says, you can't come on campus during these months because we're getting ready for the test. And we're not talking about regular daytime, not 8 to 3. We're talking about even after school. We're not going to do a Black History program in February when it's traditionally done. We're going to do it in March because we're getting ready for the test. So we're putting aside very important social, cultural enrichment opportunities to get these kids ready to pass this test that is only a measure of what they learned in a very finite block of time, when there's other experiences that will help them become much more well-rounded learners. And I think that's the problem that I have with the standardized test, is it does not really capture the full scope of what you need to understand to be a successful learner, in as much as memorizing certain things that will be on a standardized test so you can pass that test. So I think that we need to loosen the reins on the standardized testing. I firmly believe you have to use some type of testing mechanism to evaluate a child's performance and where they are in the system. But I think to focus solely on a singular test to determine whether a child is learning or succeeding in school, I think undermines what education is all about.
Okay. There's been some issues within HISD over the matter of performance pay or bonus pay for teachers. How do you think that should be handled?
I believe the teachers should be paid as much as we possibly can afford to. I'm dismayed. I'm not a big sports fan, so I'm dismayed at the emphasis that we put in paying athletes for entertainment. However, we squeeze the purse as tight as we can when we talk about paying our teachers, which are the educators of the future of our society. So I think we should do more to pay teachers as professionals that they are, and find every legal means possible to provide incentives to attract not only the best teachers, but the teachers that are truly moving the needle. I think they should be rewarded for their work. In any professional environment, the top performers usually get paid at that level, and they're provided incentives to perform at an even higher level. And I think the district is moving in the right direction by offering incentive pay. It's a new system. It will encounter its hiccups. It will encounter its critics. But in due time, I think it will ultimately attract the type of teachers who are willing to come into the system because of the priority of teaching and not just because it's a paycheck.
A lot of the existing teachers didn't care for the way in which HISD did its performance pay this year. There's also a small matter of some of the information about who got paid what getting leaked to the press. I guess my question is, how would you deal with the existing skepticism among the teachers over this program?
Well, again, it's a new program, and anytime you present a new idea to any group, this is human nature, people are resistant to change. Change is the only true constant. So on the front end of it, you're going to encounter the resistance. It's going to take time for people to get used to doing something different. I think this instance is no different. I think in due time, as people get more comfortable, as the district tweaks, refines, and better adjust the system to be more transparent, to be more inclusive of the teachers who are actually moving the needle, I think some of that criticism will decline and people will become more supportive. And I think that will just be a matter of time.
Okay. What one thing is HISD doing now that you want to see them stop doing?
Wow, one thing.
Top priority. If there's more than one, go ahead and say it.
Well, maybe the answer will be a little different than the one thing. There has to be a stronger trust between the public and the district, and that becomes a matter of communication. I think the district does not communicate its needs, its successes, or its challenges as well as it could to the taxpayers, which are really the investors in this huge machine. And the clearer that communication line becomes, the more trust people will have in the system. I think we all understand that things happen, that it's always not going to work out exactly the way we want, but people don't want to be lied to either. People don't want to be misled. And, you know, trust is like a vase. Once you break that vase, you can fix it, but it'll never be the same again. And so every time people feel misled or that trust is broken or compromised, it makes it difficult for the district to come back and be honest and people even believe the truth. So the communication, how the press plays out, you know, things within the district, how its own press secretary portrays issues that the district has to present to the public, I think could all be much better addressed and better done.
Okay. And what one thing is HISD not doing that you want to see them do?
I think the district should follow a model that I have discovered NASA does. NASA requires its contractors to provide K-12 education and outreach in STEM practices. STEM is an acronym for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, I'm sorry. And so what essentially NASA does is says, hey, if you get a contract with us, you must teach these disciplines. So essentially we're recruiting and we're nurturing and growing the next wave of NASA employees, people who can work in the engineering, mathematics, science, technology fields. Majority of HISD's budget, particularly in regards to bonds, is for construction. We should have the same kind of relationship with our construction contractors as NASA does with theirs. Contractors that are building schools, doing landscaping, wiring, HVAC systems, electricity, drafting, architectural work, they should be responsible for helping train students, particularly in high school, that are interested in these career fields. They make enough money off the system that it would be their duty to come back and provide vocational training, vocational programming. It just needs to be made a requirement. And though it would cost the contractor something, I think there's a lot of excess in the contracts that are given to the builders and the constructors of our buildings. But how beneficial would it be to have high school students learning the trades and the crafts of building the schools that are built in their own neighborhoods, that they could then go on an apprenticeship or intern with these construction companies so that then they could have real skills for living wages? So this is one thing that I believe the district could do, should do, and it will be a priority in my term to see that these kind of relationships are built and developed.
Okay. Reginald Adams, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you very much.
Good luck in your election.